If you'd like to open your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, that's on page 816 in my Bible. Last week I kind of ended the message talking about how important it is that we ask the question in life, is it wise rather than is it sinful? I think we've been trained by religion to ask the question, is it sinful? Is this sin? And then in what we do is if it's something that we consider sin, then we try to figure out where the line is and get just as close to it as we possibly can without falling over into it. The reality is the question that we need to ask, if Jesus has washed your sin away, we need to be asking the question, is it wise? Is this a wise decision? Is it wise for me to do this? The wisdom of God, the wisdom of God will take us to places in Him and in just life, success in life itself, that just asking the question about sin will never do. Because when we say, is it wise? We're saying, Lord, am I seeing it the way you see it? Do I have your heart on this matter? Am I seeing things through the eyes of God? Is it wise? So we're going to look at some passages and just kind of buckle your seatbelts. You're going to have to buckle them or you're going to run out. But buckle your seatbelts. We're about ready to jump into a few things. I really think it's going to be helpful. I think we're going to see that it's very relevant to the culture that we live in today, or at least the culture that surrounds us today, and how we can make a difference. Look at verse 1. As dead flies, oh, that's a good way to start, right? As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, y'all know, right? How many of you have had dead flies in your perfume before? So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Solomon is just saying that you can have, even if you have wisdom, if you act foolishly, the thing that people remember is the foolish act. That's what ends up being the odor that stays in people's nose. Have you ever smelled something that you just could not, that was so bad that you just had a hard time getting the stench out of your nose for a while? This morning I went into way too much detail on what I'm about ready to tell you. And so I'm not going to go into detail on it. But when we lived in Virginia, Carla and I, just a young married couple, we had purchased a little mobile home that we were living, loving it. We had a couple cats running around everywhere, and then we had a cat running around. So we went from a couple cats running around to a cat running around. And we just thought it just disappeared. We didn't know what, you know, ran away. And all of a sudden we started there was a smell. We just started getting this smell in the house. And it was like, okay, that's not good. This house that Carla had, you know, on her little potpourri, and that was before they invented candles, scented candles, and what's those little machines that poof out that little, you know, none of that stuff had ever been invented. So this is way before that, before colored TV. So we, actually before mine and Carla's colored TV, we had a black and white at the time. But that smell, it just kept, you know, it's like, and it got worse and worse. So I realized what I was going to have to do, and I knew that the smell was coming up somehow from underneath. So I crawled up under the house, and I saw a little place in the insulation where there was a little bulge. I think I'm giving too much information again. Yeah. Anyway, can I say that there was a dead cat under the house, dead flies on dead cats, and there was an odor that caused us not to even want to stay in the house? I think sometimes when we act foolishly, We don't even know how bad we stink. But other people around us smell it. Have you ever smelled anybody's foolishness? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, let me move on. I don't know. That just... here's what we're going to do. He starts out talking about flies that are going to mess up the wisdom. Flies that are dead flies that are the stench of is heavier than wisdom and honor. And so I want to talk about a few flies that he reveals in this chapter and the wisdom that we need to apply to keep those flies from doing what they do. So look at verse 4. Ecclesiastes 10:4. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offense to rest. Calmness can lay great offense to rest. The fly in this situation, Solomon is saying, emotional reaction or an emotional reactionary is going to bring flies into what otherwise could be wisdom. When we act emotionally, when we or react emotionally to a given situation rather than choosing to be in control, rather than being calm, we act in a situation where other people end up or we come about looking foolish. Have you ever seen anybody lose their cool and look foolish? Has anybody ever seen that? Some of you are saying, yeah, I saw it this morning before we left the house. I know exactly what you're talking about. It happens. And so the wisdom in this whole situation, listen, the wisdom is this. Stay calm in a heated situation. Stay calm in a heated situation. We all face heated situations. And this is what I'm talking about by the fact that this is culturally significant right now. Because road rage, restaurant rage, home rage, work rage, school rage, there's rage everywhere. I mean, it's just like the culture has given to this. But he's telling us that if we stay in control by staying calm, then we might be able to do something in the situation. We might be able to affect and impact this situation to the positive. Stay calm. And I love the way he says this. Calmness can lay great offense to rest. If a ruler, so let's say your boss comes in and your boss is having a bad day and they say just say something. You got two choices. You can run out the door crying and say, I'm never going to go back there and work again and start looking for another job. Or you can stay calm. And in the midst of that calmness, you can calm the entire situation most of the time, at least part of the time. So don't escalate the emotion by escalating the emotion. Does that make sense? Policemen are trained in this. Do we have any policemen in the room? None? We're going to get some policemen coming to church here. Okay. Policemen are trained in this, or at least most of them are trained in this, in that when they're in a situation where the criminal or the whatever is escalating things emotionally, hollering, screaming, and that their job is to de-escalate, and they do it by the tone of their voice. That's one of the ways they do it. They talk calmly. And so if you ever watch any of those shows, and I mean, me and Carla were all the time watching those little cop things on TV. So if you ever watch any, I mean, the real ones, you know what I'm talking about? The body cam things. So if you watch those, you watch this guy over here just running his mouth, but the cop is still just right here. Just staying right here. Now, I will tell you, there are a few cops that are running their mouth while the other person's staying here. But for the most part, so all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere of the situation changes because somebody de-escalated emotionally. Does this make sense to anybody? And I'm telling you this because you may end up, if you feel like you have to react emotionally to every situation in your life, you could end up dead. There are going to be times that being able to de-escalate may save your life. And by escalating, it could be somebody ends up taking you out because they are there and each of you are starting to match. Never match somebody's anger. Do not match it. Bring it down and let them come to you. Does that make sense? Now, this will help you in your marriage. See, really and truly, this is all about marriage. I was just using all that other stuff just kind of sneak in. I promise you, it'll help you in your marriage. You learn when, okay, I can see things, I can see the emotions arising. Now, take some practice, because if you just sit there and say nothing, you're going to escalate it even worse. See, well, you're not going to talk to me. I'm trying to tell you what's hurting me, and you're not listening to what I'm telling you. You don't care, and you don't love me anymore. And he just keeps going on saying that stuff, and she's just like, oh, okay. Don't escalate. Listen. Stay calm. Keep your job. Listen. Stay calm. Keep your marriage. I'm not saying that we're always going to hit it right, but man, with Solomon nailing it down, especially all of these we're going to see in our culture, we have got to learn to bring it down a notch. We've got to learn to bring it down a notch. The church has got to learn to bring it down a notch. It's crazy, even on, and I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to say the word. I'm not even going to say social media, because I know I mention it all the time, so I'm not even going to say social media. But when you look, even in social media, you see people just escalating things and escalating emotions. And we see the media escalating emotions. And then when people react to it, then we want to crucify them. Well, The fly in the ointment that'll mess up the wisdom is what? What is the fly? Do anybody remember what I said? Do anybody write it down? I know I've got it right here. I need you to know. I need you to know. Because if you leave here, most people forget the sermon after, by Tuesday, they have no idea what's being said. Or what was said. I need us to remember this. Emotional reactionary. Can't do it. Number two. Ecclesiastes 10:8. Verse 10:8. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Do you love this stuff? I love this wisdom stuff. I love Proverbs. I love some of the Proverbs that are found in this. But if we live by these things every day, if we walk with the wise one in his wisdom, as Paul prayed, God, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they may know you more. The wisdom that we get helps us walk with him. Walking with him gives us wisdom. Does that make sense? So that wisdom that we get, and he's telling us here, this is a big one. It's called, I've got M-Y-O-B. The wisdom in this one is M-Y-O-B. Does anybody know what M-Y-O-B is? Mind your own business. Boy, people would do that more. All we want to do on social media, stay in somebody else's business. I remember a time when there was no social media. I remember a time when there was no internet. And there was no cell phones. So you literally had to get on a landline phone. one of those things with a cord that stuck in a wall. You had to get on that, and you had to talk and gossip. And you, but now, culturally, that's why these are so relevant. Culturally, we can get into everybody's business, and it seems like we all want to be in somebody because we don't really want to look at our own business. The only way I can keep from looking at my own business is to keep my nose in your business, right? The fly in this one. The fly is being a busybody. The fly in this one is being a busybody. The wisdom is minding our own business. How many of you have ever had somebody get in your business? See, did you remember what he said here? Whoever digs a pit may fall in it. You ever start trying to just dig up dirt on somebody that you didn't like? Digging up dirt. You don't want to do that because you may fall in the hole that's left from the dirt. But I love this next one right here, what he said. He said, whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. You don't know what's on the other side of that wall. And you start trying to break in where you don't belong in people's lives. Could be a snake over there. And you could end up harmed. You could end up hurt. You could end up dead. You could end up any number of things because you insisted on being a busybody or getting into somebody's life. Now, I know this doesn't pertain to anybody in this room, but this is for everybody that's watching online. We got 20 million people watching on TV today, and this is for all them. Not you. It's not you. Not even Overflow. It's not our Overflow people. It's not. It's just those people out there. But when we start to try to get into other people's business, we start trying to make decisions for other people. We start trying, we keep other people from being able to make their own decisions. See, sometimes a busybody we think is just a gossip. Sometimes a busybody is somebody that wants to just take control and run the show for everybody. They're just busy, busy, busy about everybody, buddy, buddy. And he says, that's not wise. Let's not do that. Look at the next one. Verse 10, if the axe is dull, let me say something real quick on that other one. How many of you know you don't know, you can't know everything about a situation? Does anybody know that? And if we get into other people's business without knowing the whole situation and then start talking, we can cause a whole lot of hurt and pain. And we can't know. So we had to be really careful. Remember the little boy that was throwing rocks at the cars? Some guy pulls over, just lets this kid have it, just ripping him up, you're what's wrong with this world, kids like you. And then after he shuts his mouth, the little boy is sitting there crying, and he said, mister, the only reason I did that is because my mama's dying and she needs help, and I couldn't get any help. Whew. How'd you like to have been that guy? But how often do we do that in other ways? Does that make sense? So we just got to be really, really careful. There's some things that we just have to leave in Jesus' hands because we just don't know the whole story. We don't know the whole situation, and there's no need to sit in judgment. If the axe is dull and its edge sharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. The fly is a dull, unskilled mind. The fly in this situation is, what do I mean by fly? I mean what can mess up wisdom. A dull, unskilled mind. So what is the other? Sharp, stay sharp and get skill. Wisdom, stay sharp and gain skills. Stay sharp and gain skills. There are times when brute strength, that we have to try to apply brute strength because we haven't done the work. We haven't learned the skills. When I was in ninja school, I can remember it was they kept telling me, "Bud, you don't have to use so much brute strength. Use your mind and your skills." And so I started to use my mind and skills. And I mean, you know, legendary after that. You all don't know because I wore a mask, but I'm telling you. You just don't understand. It's so easy in our culture to just let our mind go dull. Watching TV all the time will make your mind go dull. It'll make your mind go dumb. There's nothing wrong with watching TV. I'm not going to be one of those preachers that say, you know, you shouldn't watch TV, because I don't intend to stop watching some things. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to tell you. But I will tell you this. Our minds get dull over time if we're not doing some things. Maybe like reading. How many of you read? That's exactly what I thought. Three people in this room actually read. You know what I found out? this younger generation, when they say that they're reading a book, what do you really mean? You're listening to it. Yeah. I read that book. Oh, did you? Yeah. No, you listened to that book. I'm not seeing anything wrong with that, because I listen to tons of books. I probably listen to more than I read. I'm just saying that we need to keep our minds sharp, and sometimes you just got to take a book and you got to read, because there's a part of our brain that gets used and exercised in reading that doesn't when we're listening. And sometimes we pick up more and focus more by reading. And so we have to make sure that our minds are sharp. Now, let me take you to where I think is so vitally important here, and that is that our minds are sharp on the Scripture. That our minds stay sharp in the Scripture. If our minds are not sharp in the Scripture, we end up trying to use tactics to get what we want and what we need that are more brute strength, fleshly kind of tactics rather than the Spirit of God working. When he's talking about strength, he's talking about flesh strength, brute strength there. But when we as God's people, when we embrace wisdom and we get our minds, how do I say this? When we have the wisdom of God working in our mind to the point that we think the way God thinks because we've been in God's Word, and then we take that, we sharpen our mind in the Word, and then we skillfully take the Word to this world. How many of you have ever had people who knew the Scripture, they used the Scripture, and they turned you off? Anybody? I mean, you didn't want to talk to me, it just turned you off. They had no tact. What was it? It was lazy. There's no skill. Just pure lazy. Skill. If we take the Word of God, sharpen our mind with the Word of God, and then skillfully use the Word, which means I am able to talk to somebody, and I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I can have a conversation with them about Jesus, but do it in a way that I don't just throw up all, or cause them to throw up all the defenses. Does this make sense? You skillfully do it. I mean, how many of you, if you have surgery, want a surgeon to walk in there with a dull blade and just start sawing on your gut? It just ain't working. Here's what I want with a surgeon. I want him to bring a knife in there so sharp that he doesn't even touch my skin. I mean, so sharp that he holds it there and my skin just goes. Butter, hot butter sharp. Okay? That is the way we have to be able to handle the Word of God. That in this culture, in a culture that's turned off by God in some ways, in a culture that's turned off by the Word of God, we have a wonderful opportunity to skillfully take the Word of God and begin to talk to people and share. And one of the best ways to do that is through stories. When you're sitting down talking to somebody about Jesus, the best way, Jesus did it, didn't he? One of the ways that Jesus spoke, taught, got to people was through stories. So he would tell a story, and people would let the defenses down, because we all like stories. Everybody likes a story. And so the defenses come down, and then you can have a conversation, and sooner or later you end up sowing some seeds of the gospel in that person's heart. And over time, the seed comes up, and maybe, just maybe, that person comes to know Jesus. Does this make sense? So stay sharp. Stay sharp and get skills. And if you're out, and if some of you are trying to, if you're without a job, there are people in this room that would hire you if you get some skills. Just saying. Learn to lay brick. Learn to be a plumber. And I'm not against a college education, don't get me wrong. But some of you are going to spend a bunch of money on a college education with a degree that you will never use in your life. Take it, go learn bricklaying, go learn electricity, go learn plumbing, get a job doing something that you can actually get a job in, and learn a skill. Now, that had absolutely nothing to do with this, but that's just papaw here, okay? I'm just, you know, just sharing some good stuff with you. Number four, or five, or whatever it is. Verse 12, words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. At the beginning, their words are folly or foolishness. At the end, they are wicked madness, and fools multiply words. How many of you have ever had a conversation with this person? We've all talked to this one person right here, haven't we? They start out talking foolish, and then it goes from talking foolish into this just madness. It's like, what in the world are you talking about? And then it's like they just keep talking, and there's, I mean, it's over. Nothing you can do. What is the fly here? The fly here is they don't know when to shut up. They just don't know when to shut up. How many of you know people who don't know when to shut up? Do not poke your husband, Liz, or your wife. Do not do that. We all know people who don't know how to shut up. I can be one of those people occasionally, but I try not to put stink in my wisdom, and so, you know, I'm working hard on that part, but shut up. The wisdom is you can't reason with a fool. You can't reason with a fool who won't stop talking. How many times do we waste our time trying to reason with somebody that is unreasonable? They're fool. They can't, you cannot reason with them. And all that's going to happen is you're going to be in a situation where they're going to start talking foolish. And then it's going to move on to the place you're trying to state your thing. They're going to move on from there onto madness until they're, have you ever had a conversation with people who move into madness to the point that they're running circles around things, and you're sitting here saying, how do I answer that? And I'm in a situation that this is a no-win. It's impossible to win in this situation. Why? Because it turned into madness. It went from foolishness into madness. And then it just comes into nonstop. Right? So the fly is they just don't know when to shut up. We need to know when to shut up. Carla and I love watching these shows where, I know I'm all the time, I just talked about TV a little while ago, I'm thinking, man, is that all they do is watch TV? But we love watching these things on YouTube where the detectives are interrogating the criminals. And these detectives are trained to do what they do. I love policemen. Just want to make sure I get that out there one more time. But they are trained, skilled in what they do. And so it's, you know, hey, we're pals. Yeah, we're pals. Let's talk a little bit. Oh, yeah. The whole time in their mind, they don't care. It's not, I mean, I don't mean they don't care, but they don't want to be your buddy. It's not they want to be your pal. They're trying to find out where you are, who you are, what's going on in this situation. And so the interrogation is going on. Now, here's what me and Carla, if you would hear us both at the same time, every time we hear somebody get started talking and answering questions, we both scream out, "Ask for a lawyer! Ask for a lawyer!" And they say, often, many times, "Well, I didn't think I needed one." You needed one. Well, but I thought if I asked for one, then they would think I'm guilty. They already do. Ask for a lawyer. Shut your mouth and ask for a lawyer. Y'all just remember this, okay? I hope you never have to use this. I hope nobody ever has to use this. But I'm just telling you right now. So, but because what happens is to get started talking, and all of a sudden, all these words keep on spinning, and they're saying so many things, and they think they're being smart, and yet the whole time the cops are sitting there, "Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha, gotcha." And then I love toward the end of the interrogation when they start saying, "Well, you said this, but now you're saying this." And then you watch them try to get out of it. What are you supposed to do? Ask for a lawyer. I'm not one. I hope I didn't make enemies right there by saying that. How many lawyers do we have in the room? I think we have more lawyers that come to church here than cops. So at the moment, I'm saying, ask for a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Ecclesiastes 18. "Through laziness, the rafters sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks." Through laziness. What is the fly? Laziness. What is the other? Get up and do something. What's the wisdom? Get up and do something with your life. Is this culturally relevant? Has anybody seen anything that we've talked about here today that's not culturally relevant? Isn't it interesting that the wisdom of Solomon from a few thousand years ago, the wisdom of Solomon is just as relevant today as it was the day that he spoke it, wrote it, or it was written? It's amazing to me. And we live in a culture today where laziness prevails in so many ways. I have friends that own businesses, and it's not that people don't want to be employed in some ways. Yeah, I don't mind being employed. If you're going to pay me to be employed, I just don't want to work. Does that make sense? News for you. The people that are paying you have work that needs to get done. And Okay, I can't. I'm going to go places I don't need to be going. Your spiritual house, is it sagging? Your spiritual house, is the world leaking into your spiritual house? Is the world getting in? Is all the things out there coming into you, or is what is inside of you changing what's out there? Does that make sense? When the water gets in the roof, it changes what's inside. It rots what's inside. When maintenance happens, or when somebody is not lazy and they take care of themselves spiritually, then we insulate ourselves from the world, and then we can change the world. Does that make sense? We can only change the world if we don't let the world get in and break us down. And when it does, things start to sag. Now, what is sagging spiritually in your life? what's sagging spiritually? Because of a little bit of laziness. And I'm not being cruel. Have we gotten lazy in our scripture reading? Have we gotten lazy in our prayer time? Do we find ourselves having gotten lazy in there? Now, when Solomon's talking about laziness here, he's talking about the big picture of laziness, but I'm bringing that big picture down microscopically to this point. Are there flies getting in to the perfume that Jesus brings, that when we live Jesus and we live his love, it is a just a sweet smell that we can offer to this world? But as God's people, when we open ourselves and we start letting the flies in and we let the outside come in and start to rot what's on the inside, and all of a sudden the things that used to be strong are starting to sag in our life, where are we? Only you know what could be sagging spiritually in your life. And so before we do anything else, I want to just ask us to take a minute. Just to take a minute. Lord, there's an area here, or there's an area here that just needs your attention. I need you. I need you to forgive me and let me walk in your wisdom and show me your wisdom for this situation. Can we pray that together? Father, I pray now. Lord, this world so needs to see your image. Sometimes when we act foolishly, they can't see you. But when we act in your wisdom, they see you very well. Sometimes we get satisfied with dull, sagging spiritual lives, and we're unskillful in the way we deal with people in the world. But I pray today we repent of laziness in prayer. We repent of laziness in our time with you, in our scripture reading. We repent of laziness in connecting with other people about you and about the gospel. We repent of that laziness today. And we commit ourselves to sharpen our hearts, to sharpen our minds, and begin to act with skill rather than brute strength, just trying to push ourselves on other people. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.